Amen. May his presence fill our lives and make us whole permanently as we stay on the Lord's side in Jesus' name. I want to thank appreciate the women who chose to allow us to pass from the chaplaincy unit to wrap up the revival series we started on Sunday. Today is their day, like it was mentioned while Pastor Babalawo was welcoming us to church. So we want to appreciate women. The Lord bless you more and more in Jesus' name. As we go on action for Christ, we will empower you, we will strengthen you. Your strength shall not fail in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to thank the university pastor too and Pastor Babalola for granting me access to speak God's word on the appropriate again. May the hand of the Lord come to rest upon you and bless you, God. And of course, we like to appreciate the cooperation that we have received so far from the pressures during this week of revival. The good Lord that has called you that to serve will bless you abundantly. You will not serve him in vain. As you continue in your journey in Babcock University, grace to finish this academic race shall be bestowed upon you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Please let's bow as we pray. Eternal God, I pray that you anoint my lips of clay so that as I bring forth your word, your words will be seed, will be sown and bread to the eater. Lord, as I hide behind the cross, I therefore stand and declare that our heart has received the incredible that is able to save our souls. Speak to us, Lord, speak to us, and we shall never remain the same again. Thank you, Father. Because no contrary spirit will have a place in our worship this moment. For we are praying with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Let the saints shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
I want to share a thought with us today as we close the revival series we started on Sunday of what I have captioned Victorious Christian Living. Victorious Christian Living. When you hear the word victorious, what comes to your mind? It suggests there is some bit of friction, struggle, battle, fight. And as a matter of fact, the call to be a child of God, the call to be a Christian, is a call to battle. When you check through the scriptures, you see several references that compare the life of a child of God or the life of a Christian with that of a soldier. And you know, military men, they operate by decrees. We have a few of such references in the epistle of Paul to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, "The fight, the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul also wrote, and he says, "You must war a good warfare, fight the spirit." I found myself in a place recently, and you know, the issue that was at stake had to do with standard and integrity. Somebody says, "Why is it that you are agitated and you are fighting?" I say, "Well, anyway, it's not recorded in the scripture that we cannot fight. So fight a good fight. You can fight, but make sure it's a fight of faith and it's a good one." That's what the scripture says. Paul wrote again in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. He said to Timothy, he said, "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. For there is no one that wars and entangles himself with the affairs of this world." I once read a translation that says, "There is no one who is a military person who gets involved in civilian affairs." And you know, civilians can be very slack. To take decision can be very problematic. They will consider so many factors. Their militaries, they rule by decree, give instruction, and you obey. One of our songs says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, we are soldiers, we are on the Lord's side." Very good news to you this morning, or this afternoon rather, is the fact that we are fighting a battle that has been won. Amen. So you simply have a responsibility to activate the victory that Christ won on the cross. Because if you are not aware of this fact, you will always live a defeated life, frustrated. Christianity will be like a body, and you will not enjoy your walk with God. 2 Corinthians, Paul was speaking again in chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to be pulling down of strongholds. And he goes on and on. May I therefore announce to you this afternoon that until he returns, we have a responsibility to keep on fighting. And until he returns, we are privileged to be on the winning side. And you will win the battles of life to fight in Jesus' mighty name. The question then is this: how do we win the battles that we fight? Especially the battle that has to do with, you know, the struggles to gain ascendancy over our spirit, man, over our lives as believers in Christ. Things that contend with the word of God that we've had this week and the ones we've had even before now. How? What are the practical ways by which we can relate to these scriptures and find a platform to engage in spiritual battles that we fight, the war between the flesh and the spirit, so that we can always be on the winning side? It is possible to have victory over sin. It is possible to be on the Lord's side permanently. It is possible to serve God acceptably with all of our being if we know how. And so I want to share with you a few spiritual nuggets that are considered tools or keys that will enhance our victory in our Christian experience. Number one, you must acknowledge that you have a responsibility not to be a slave of sin. And I'm going to revert us very quickly to the scriptures we read a few minutes back. Romans chapter 6 from verse 11. It says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. From that text alone, we can relate with some key points. Number one, you must be dead to sin. How do you become dead to sin? Maybe you need to observe the characteristics of a dead man, and then you know what it means to be dead to sin. If someone is being carried in a coffin, maybe that fellow hated certain things before he died. And what he hated while he was alive is what you are doing now that he's dead. Will you be able to do anything? You would definitely will not be able to do anything. In like manner, Paul is saying, be dead to sin so that sin will not have dominion over you. Look at the next verse. He said, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. My emphasis is do not. When Paul was talking, who was he talking to? Was he talking to spirits? Was he talking to spirits? Let me have an answer. He was talking to mere men that had similar passion like you are. Yet he gave a directive. Do not. Sometimes certain things we refer as the devil doing them, but it is not the devil. We should take responsibility for our spiritual life. Let not sin reign over you. That is scriptures. Meaning that if you are dead to sin and you are alive in God through Christ, that's the connection. It becomes easier for you to disallow sin from reigning over your life. That's the link. Let not sin. So the first point is to acknowledge that you and I, we have responsibilities to disallow sin from taking root or taking hold upon our lives. If you are truly sold out to God, you will not enjoy sin. It won't be part of your life. You know, people enjoy so much sin that even when they know what they are about to do, they will say, Lord, this thing I'm about to say, please forgive me. You are even asking for forgiveness in advance. See, and you will still go ahead and say it all the same. If you knew that you are going to say something that will make you sin against God, don't bother to ask forgiveness in advance. Just stop saying it. Hello? Stop blaming the devil for things you can take responsibility for. This may be shocking. Just like God does not force you, the devil does not force any man. If you read the scriptures, it is when everyone has been derailed and drawn away with his own lust that is tempted. That's what the scriptures is saying. Every man is tempted. Let him not say, I'm tempted by the Lord. Every man that is tempted when you allow lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, desires of these worldly things to gain ascendancy over you. So I read a funny story sometimes ago. A pastor said he slept and he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw the devil who sat under a tree and he bowed his head with dejection and was crying. I was speaking. And he asked, Mr. Devil, you are not used to, you know, getting discouraged. A preacher once said, if there is something that the devil has in common with God, you know, the scripture says God is not a respecter of person. And the preacher said, in like manner, Satan also is not a respecter of person. If he respects at all, he will not go ahead and tempt Jesus after he has fasted 40 days and 40 nights, full of power and Holy Ghost. Anyway, he bowed and he began to cry. He said, Mr. Devil, what happened to you? He said, my problem, I just suddenly got discouraged. It is these Christian people. Every time, even the thing we are not saying, Nami do harm. When they tempt themselves, they say, Nami do harm. I'm tired of them telling lies against me. Yet, they are the one preaching that we should not tell lies. And so many Christians do that. Things we should take responsibility for, we say it's the devil. May the devil not have a foothold upon your life anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus. How else can we live a victorious Christian life? We must be committed to a life of prayer. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41 says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. I want you to see the progression. He didn't just say pray. He said watch and pray. What does it mean to watch? To stay awake. To be active. Watch and pray. Don't just pray. Otherwise, if you are just praying without being watchful, it becomes mere religious rituals. But you will pray more intelligently if you are watchful. You know things that you ordinarily would not have done. There are individuals who are sold out to God before. All of a sudden, when they were given some responsibility, you got yourself in a position, maybe you are an head of department, head of a unit, anywhere, and your boss requires that you cover up certain things, and you began to tell lies. And one thing we've seen is this. Once you continue to tell lies, or you commit any sin repeatedly, you lose your sense of guilt. You are given to reprobate mind. Your conscience is seared, S-E-A-R-E-D, with hot iron, and you get used. You must live a life of prayers. Scripture says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. The only other activity that a man does without ceasing is breathing. When a man stops breathing, he is regarded as what? As dead. When a man stops praying, you are spiritually dead. Sometimes, spiritual death leads to physical death. If you are not careful. Because that's like your connecting point where you draw strength. Once you are dislocated from the source of life, there is no life to live anymore. We must learn to pray. Don't just hurry up early in the morning because you are late and you need to register your name in attendance. Sometimes, the same God you refuse to contact when you left the house, when you run into trouble, is the first name you call. Oh, Jesus Christ! Same God that you didn't bother to consult when you were hurrying out of your house. Somebody was sharing, one of the churches I pastored before, was sharing a testimony one day. that he was going to walk early in the morning, and they were waylaid by robbers on the road. And as they were laid on the road, somebody witnessed that scenario, and quickly this happened in Lagos, and called rapid response squad. And like a speed of light, they showed up and they engaged those robbers in a shootout. Immediately, one of them was hit by a bullet. The guy screamed and cried, "Oh, Jesus Christ!" And I'm robbers, "Oh, you need Jesus?" And he went about robbing. He said, "Wow, robbers still know that there is God. Yet they disregarded him." May the Lord grant us grace and ability to intentionally cultivate our prayer life. As you see, to have a healthy prayer life requires personal discipline. Sometimes when you are just gisting and you sleep late, there is the tendency that you are going to wake up late. Or even if you wake up early, you are still sleeping. So much that when you need that to pray, when you say in Jesus, you say name after you have crossed the border. Just say that today I will need that, so that I will make sure I pray very well this morning before I present. In Jesus, without the name is at the other side. So it requires discipline. If you are an heavy eater every night, you will wake up tired. To enjoy your prayer life becomes difficult. And that's true. Because while your body was physically lying on the bed, your system was still working to work on the food you overloaded your body with. The mountain of Eba and the bowl of Amala combined with Okoroko. So it requires discipline to be able to cultivate a functional prayer life. Grace to be disciplined, may the Lord give unto us in Jesus' name. Number three, how do I live a victorious Christian life? You must learn to read, study, and meditate upon God's word. It may not be every time you'll be able to study, but you must have time to study. You know, sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures and the English language has massacred the interpretation, I go to Yoruba Bible. Some go to their native. One of the best ways to understand the Bible is when you are studying, you can use sometimes you can use your local dialect. Apology to people who don't even understand their local dialect anymore, their local languages. Or you speak the Ajepota type of Ajepota version of your language. It gives you encouragement. It is what you have understood that you can meditate upon. Make sure you read. If you are not able to study every day, then make sure you at least read the scriptures. One of the instructions Paul gave to Timothy, he said, "Until I come, give attention to reading." Your immunity against sin becomes weak when you lack the word of God. You know the scripture says, "My people are destroyed for what? For lack." So the devil loves ignorant Christians. He knows how to give you a facet. How do we say that in English? A facilitation. That's like an uppercut. In your battles against the power of hell, against sin. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you." Remember the story of Jesus. Hear me and hear me well. The devil will not respect you because you are able to fast. He did not respect Jesus after he has fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. He can only respect you when you know the word of God. That was why when Jesus was facing his own battle, how did he respond when the devil came against him? He said, "It is written." If Jesus won by "it is written," you cannot win by saying, "Our elders have a way of saying." Even if the word does not crack, Lizard will not enter. So, Father, help us in this battle. You can't win that way. That is the saying of the elders. That's not the word of God. You know, there is an adage like that. How did our Father say? If the wizard does not crack, if the word does not crack, the wizard cannot enter. Why is devil entering my life? Oh God, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me, deliver me. You do some acrobatic, jingoistic prayer lifestyle, and there is no results. The only thing that gives you victory, consistent victory. You can have victory regularly. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, but thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, he said, for thanks be unto God who always gives us victory. Always. The word always underlined. So consistent life of victory is guaranteed if you are rooted in God's word. Let somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
So stay with the word. Anything that is taking you away from the word of God is something that will make you worldly in this earth. Anything. Be it your job, you must learn to prioritize. Number four, you must choose your friends wisely, because there is no relationship that leaves you neutral. Scripture says, iron sharpens iron, like a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. You can see that in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. A wood cannot sharpen an iron. It is iron that sharpens an iron. Choose your friends wisely. Be very intentional. If your friend is someone that is always advising you to go against the will of God, you must be very, very careful. Don't say you will help him to grow. It is easier to pull down somebody who is on a ladder of spiritual progress. If someone is on the floor and I'm standing where I am now and we are struggling, which one is easier, for me to fall or for the person to come up? It's easier to fall. I once gave an illustration when two people who don't share the same spiritual values relate intimately. What happens between them is like what happens when you put a very hot iron inside cold water. When you put hot iron inside cold water, the first thing you begin to hear is what? Shh. And that suggests struggle. When you share spiritual gems that God has given to you with a sinner who don't have value for the same God you serve, your meeting points initially generate friction and disagreement. That's by why the temperature of the iron and the water will be the same. A kind of equilibrium. Lukewarmness. The scriptures put it. And the Bible says, those who are lukewarm, what is it is going to do? You spew them out. And then the temperature from lukewarmness goes down and becomes cold. Gradually. So when you see someone who is backsliding, there is no scripture you are telling that person, they say, we were there before. Those things don't work anymore. Very, very easy. A wise man once said, even if you have to rescue someone from the pit, there is a need for you to stay a bit. Otherwise, you fall into the pit. You must be very careful, because when you align your life with those who share your spiritual value, it is very, very risky, spiritually speaking. Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walks with the wise shall be made wise. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. May you not be destroyed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But there is a beautiful way that is also crafted in a story in 2 Samuel chapter 13. You can read verse 1 forward. That's the story of three individuals: Tamar, Amnon, and Jonadab. Amnon and Jonadab were friends. But Amnon and Tamar were like siblings, blood relations, children of David. All of a sudden, something came upon Amnon, and he began to lust after his sister, Tamar. You can read the account. So when we talk about incest in our contemporary world, it's from Bible times, it has always been in existence. And And you know, when the thought of fornication or adultery comes and you don't deal with it immediately, he's not even saying you should be fantasizing with it. What did he say with regards to fornication? Flee. What does it mean to flee? 140. You fantasize before you, because the sex hormone is so strong that it is after you have gone to the real act, your eyes become, oh, I did this again. You are the one that was killed. You did not heed scriptural injunction to flee. You are saying, I rebuke you, I bind the devil. As you are binding the devil, you are moving close. I'm binding the devil, you are moving close. You should bind yourself and run away. May God grant us grace for victory consistently in Jesus' name. The guy continued to fantasize so much that because of the blood relationship between him and his sister, the scripture says he could not do anything until he shared with Jonadab, his friend. And immediately we share with Jonadab, he said, so you a king's son is disturbed because of this. Let me tell you how you are going to get your sister. Just pretend as though you are sick. And insist it must be your sister that will come and give you food. And insist that your sister must bring the food to your room. Don't just insist. Insist that you will eat the food on her hands. Apology to non Yoruba speakers again. There is an idea that they normally say, Unibara, Umbolibo, Apolota, Utun Yoju Wali, Unibaba, Asore, Dadani, Asore, Dadani. What that means is a beggar. He's planning his chief to steal. After you have given a beggar money and he pull your cotton aside and he's looking, excuse me, that clothes is also very good for me. After you have given him money, when the man was hatching his evil intention and he went ahead to tell his friend, the friend encouraged him in ungodliness. And that was exactly what Amnon did for his sister. And immediately Amnon, Tamar came with the food. The scripture says he grabbed her and raped her. After he raped her, sent her. The Bible says he hated her after the rape. Sent her away. And you know that happens even in real life. Somebody you don't really love, you forced him or her to bed. After that, it is hatred that is generated. Bitterness. All the scripture says, can a man carry fire in his bosom and not be burnt? It is when you practice it in the context of marriage that you generate warmth. But if it's outside of marriage, it is fire. It consumes. May you not be consumed. And we know the rest of the story, what happened in that household. It was his friend who encouraged him unto godliness. You must learn to protect your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, guard your heart with all diligence. You must protect your heart. And some of the ways by which you do this is, you must be very careful what your eyes see, what your ears hear, sometimes what you perceive with your nose. If all those things are sending information to your heart, and once you begin to process them, if I'm able to influence your thoughts, I can determine the direction of your life. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You must very, very intentional. You find yourself in the midst of friends and colleagues who are given to lewdness and all manner of ungodly things, and you sit down in their midst. You remember the book of Psalms, is it chapter 1 or chapter 3, that talks about blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of sinner. Look at the progression of that thing itself. You walk, you stand in the seat, you sit with discomfort. Contrarywise, in the law of the Lord, you meditate day and night. What will happen to you? It shall be like a tree that is planted by riverside that brings up its fruit in season and out of season. You must protect your heart. May I put to you that spiritual battles are primarily fought in the heart. Once you lost out in your heart, there is a tendency that you will always be a victim. You will not be a victim in Jesus' name. You must also learn to resist the devil James chapter 4 verse 7 says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Look at that progression and the arrangement again. It is difficult for you to resist the devil if you have not submitted to God. So the first part is submission to God. It is submission plus resistance that will make the devil to flee. Submit yourself to God and then resist the devil. Sometimes the devil he flood your heart with some impure thoughts. This does not exclude anybody. It does not matter the level at which you are working with God. It doesn't exclude anyone. You can be a pastor who has pastored for over 50, 60 years. Once you still have flesh and blood, you are still susceptible to things you are talking about. The only time you are free is when you are dead and you are waiting resurrection. You must learn to resist the devil. Let me just share two more and then we'll draw the curtain. You must learn to exercise yourself unto godliness. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Take time to fast and pray. Decide to read through the scriptures from time to time. Physical exercise enhance physical health. In like manner, spiritual exercise will enhance your spiritual health. As a matter of fact, 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8 says, physical exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, both in this world and in the world to come. Godly exercise. Stop explaining your spiritual lethargy away by saying, it is fanaticism to be fasting regularly. The scripture says, when you fast, it did not say, if you fast. Read the book of Isaiah, when it was talking about fasting. When suggests it should be a regular thing in the life of a child of God. There is another adage in my local language that says, it is a man that is extraordinarily fed that fights. And it will blow jam. Ordinarily, when you have not eaten in a day, when somebody is trying to abuse you, say, you, your mother, you can even add and say, including my father too, and you walk away. Because there is nothing in this place. That is how to mortify the flesh. Mortification. Paul said, I die daily. Continuous exercise unto godliness. Read the scriptures. Buy tapes. Listen to the word of God. In your car, people will recognize you and they will not bring junks to you. And they will tell you when a BC backslided, when it's going to be restored, and when it will backslide again. You know, there are some people who are experts in carrying bad news. Even when they want to share testimony, they will start with bad news. My brother said, me thank God. As I was coming this morning, one car had an accident. 18 people died immediately. Everybody said, before you begin the testimony. And there is no relationship even between that accident and the testimony you want to share. You know this. Those are people that are given to what the scripture calls lying tongue. When somebody is given to a life of lies, if he's coming from the toilet and you say, where are you coming from? Now, nothing is at stake. So actually, I just saw the university pastor. From there, I went to my department. He is coming from the toilet, simple and straightforward. But he has not mentioned that. But I saw you coming out of the toilet. After it was after saying my lines up when absolutely there is no reason for it. May the Lord deliver us from lying tongues in Jesus' name. Finally, you must learn to praise God at all times. In your walk with God, you will have low moments, times that are not too palatable. But you can take a cue from the example of Paul and Silas, when it was not convenient for them to praise God, they praise God all the same. Listen to me and hear me well. There is nothing that saps spiritual strength like a life that is able to complain and murmur. In fact, the scriptures warns us in Corinthians, neither let us murmur like those who murmur in the wilderness. What happened to them? They were destroyed by the destroyer. Thank God
It does not matter what you are getting from God now, even though it might not be pleasant. It would have been worse if you were on the devil's side. But pardon me for doing another proverb of the week. It says, you back over and do as it can be. You back over and do as it can be. Meaning that whether that prayer is going to be accepted or not, it is still better than somebody cursing you. So if you stay with the devil, just remove the word deed. What you experience is evil. The devil does not have anything good. He has a threefold ministry. John 10, the thief comes not but to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Or he says, I have come that you may have life and have it. How? More abundantly. Whatever you are going through in your Christian experience, in your work with people, you must learn to appreciate God at all times. Those who appreciate God, they appreciate in life. If you stop appreciating God, you depreciate because God is not more. Moment, as I close, I want to commend you to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and grant unto you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Amen.